So several weeks ago, I had someone ask me, they said, what's a successful church to me? And something along those lines, wasn't a direct quote. And I thought for just a second, and then I answered and I said that when people walk in the door, they hear Jesus sung, preached, prayed, and that they draw themselves and are drawn closer to him through all of that. And that's in essence what I said, not again verbatim because I'm old and I can't remember. But that's basically the answer to the question of what success as a Christian should look like to us. Now we're going to stop our series in Mark for just a little while, for the next 5 Sundays, and we're going to go through a short series called Fireside Chats. And if you know your history, that's Franklin Roosevelt used to talk to the nation at that time over the radio dial. It wasn't Spotify, wasn't Apple Play or anything like that. It was an actual radio station. And he would talk to the nation and inform the nation and have the nation think with him about the troubled times that they were in. And so when I got that question, it got me thinking about us as a church and where we are. And so for the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at that in this short series about where we are. And the first session of our Fireside Chats is going to be called or entitled Reflection. Reflection. So we're going to look at where God has placed us and the love that God has given us in this time, in this day and age. Now, Lord willing, we'll start Mark back up in 1st of September. But what we're going to talk about over the next coming weeks is kind of how we renew ourselves. It's good to take a step back. We've just come through the season of Vacation Bible School where everything was, we put so much effort and so much time. And we did a great job as far as proclaiming the gospel and making those kids feel welcome. We give them, those who requested, we gave them school supplies and backpacks. Thank you, Miss Nicole. And I know that we did a great job of honoring our Lord through the Vacation Bible School. But as we think about just taking a step back and looking at where we are, I think it's a good opportunity for us to reflect on that question is what success looks like as a church. And so we're going to look at that this morning, starting with the sermon called Reflection. We're going to look back at that. So turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you do not have a Bible, the Bible in the pew can be provided for you. You can take that as our gift to you. It's on page 672. The one thing that will never change as we go along is the proclamation of God's word, and that's going to stay central to everything that we do, even when we're reflecting and looking through ourselves and at ourselves. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at chapter 3, my apologies, chapter 3, look at verse 5. We're just going to read one verse. May the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's endurance. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just open our minds and our hearts to you. Help us to draw us closer to you. Help us to realize our need of you. And that even as we contemplate your love, even as we contemplate Christ's endurance and the example of his endurance for us and how we should follow suit, it's all for you and to you and through you that these things are accomplished. And dear Lord, if there's anything that I say that gets in the way of your proclamation, I pray that the words that I speak that do not honor you fall to the ground before they're even heard. But those things that are life-giving, that are renewing, that glorify you, I pray that you will embed them deep in our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Help us to get rejuvenated as we reflect on your love and your endurance. We thank you and we praise you for this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul here is talking to this church. And in this context, he's actually saying in the verses before that, pray for him as they're ministering and pray that the devil doesn't get in their way. And then he says, you're doing a great job. And then he goes on after verse 5 and he kind of chastises them and says, don't be irresponsible. Be busy. You're here at this time in this place for the reason that God put you there. So don't be lazy, basically, is what Paul's going to tell that church at that time. And so it's a great example for us. But right smack dab in the middle of that section, in that narrative, he puts the verse that we're going to look at this morning in there, and he says, may the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and to Christ's endurance. So the first thing that we need to see is who's doing the action? Who does this verse say is doing the action? It's the Lord. See what it says. May the Lord direct your hearts. So the Lord is the one here acting. So we're praying this morning, and I'm praying as I am proclaiming his gospel this morning, that the Lord is actually drawing us to him and showing us these things about his love and his endurance and how he put the gospel out there for us, and that we should reflect on that good grace that he has given to us. And we just ask that the Lord move in our hearts today. So the actor is the Lord. He's the one who is doing the action. But we are the recipient of that, and there's specific things that Paul prays that these church members look at that they remember. And what is that? It's God's love. God's love. In verse 5 again, it goes back and says, may the Lord direct your hearts to God's love. And when we think about God's love, there are three contexts that are pretty easy for us to look at. Three contexts that we're going to look at this morning. First, the past, present, and future. Not very novel. If you're looking for someone who's original, I'm not that guy. But we look at God's love in the past, we look at God's love in the present, and we're going to look at God's love in the future. So let's think about God's love in the past. This type of action that Paul is telling the Thessalonian church, the church that he's telling us now too at Fireside Fellowship, is think on God's love in the past that got us to the point we're at today. An example would be this same type of action he told the Israelite children in Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It says, in the first month of the second year after their departure from the land of Egypt, the Lord told Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, the Israelites are to observe the Passover at the appointed time. You must observe it at the appointed time on the 14th day of this month at twilight. You are to observe it in according with the statutes and ordinances. So Moses told the Israelites to observe the Passover, and they observed it in the first month on the 14th day at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai. The Israelites did everything the Lord had commanded Moses. So let's set the stage for that, right? In the past, the children of Israel were in slavery. God took them out of slavery, and the Passover was the coronation, if you will, of that event where he's taken them out of the land of Egypt, and he is salvaging them, saving them, offering them salvation from their slavery. And the Passover lamb was killed, the blood was placed on the door, and then he tells them, remember how I loved you then. And so this is year two of them going out of Egypt into the promised land. Now it takes them 40 years to get there because of their sin, but he tells them, remember my love for you. And so we see, as we think about God's love, we have to remember the past. We moved the table back after VBS, and I didn't want it covered because there's a writing on the front of it, right? This do in remembrance of me. Christ, the same way, tells us to remember his gift of salvation on the cross. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So again, God is telling us as his children, remember how he loves you. Not only to the children of Israel did he tell, "Hey, remember how I took you out of Egypt," to us, if we are Christians right now, he says, "Remember the cross and the resurrection." And if you're not a believer this morning, let me implore you to take a look at what Jesus did on the cross for us, because for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you've never repented of your sin, turn from your sin. And if you don't know what sin is, it's basically affront to God. It's being opposed to what God loves. Turn from that. Turn back to Christ. Say, "I have sinned against you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again to conquer death and to take God's wrath in my place." And then remember that fact. But not only do we see that, we see here in Psalm 77 another way that God reminds us. It says, "I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. I refuse to be comforted. I think of God. I groan. I meditate. My spirit becomes weak. I have kept my eyes from he kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and I cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night I remember my music. I meditate in my heart and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at the end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved at the right hand of the Most High, that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy." What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the people. With power you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God, and the water saw you, it trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water, but your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Here the psalmist in Psalm 77 says, "I will remember. When times get bad and I think God hasn't heard my prayers, I will remember his great love." And there are times, I'm sure, in our lives individually and collectively as a church where we think God may have shut the door of heaven and our prayers don't even get off through the ceiling. But we remember the fact that His love is great. He died for our sins and salvation is in His hand. The water shakes, the earth quakes at the fact that God is God and that we have, as His children, access to this love. So we are called to remember God's love in the past. But the second way to remember God's love is in the present. Now, I've been the senior pastor of Fireside Fellowships, counting the interim portion, basically since November. And without going into much of what happened then, there was a couple of families that left for various reasons. I was talking to the pastor of Central Baptist Church, or one of the former pastors of Central Baptist Church, and that was the building that we're actually standing in at Fireside Fellowship. And he was telling me that when they called him, there was along this back wall back here, right behind the sanctuary, if you go back there and you're heading to the nursery or the restrooms, they had pictures and pictures and pictures. And I think he said he counted 18 before he stopped, of their former pastors. None of them served over 2 years. And this church building has had a turbulent history and it continued on. But we remember God's love because we're still here. Since 2022, basically since the pandemic, there has been 625 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention alone that have closed each year. So 2022, 23, 24, over 1,800 churches have closed in that time. And as a fellowship, if we weren't grounded in God's word, we could have easily done that as well. But by God's grace, He has a plan and a purpose, and His love is here for us to accomplish something. So in that time, we have committed ourselves, the elders and I have committed ourselves to continue to shepherd the flock as well as we can, to continue to proclaim the gospel in this community, in this area, for the glory of God. It's not who stands on this stage. It's not who sings or plays instruments. It's the fact that we are here to proclaim His name and His name alone. That's God's love. Think about what has happened just in the time that I have been the senior pastor. We have reworked the church covenant, modernizing its wording to show us how that we want to fellowship together. We've had a baptism. Like I said, we had over 65 a night, and the gospel was proclaimed at VBS. We had Kirill and I both have led devotions for the bivocational pastors meeting of the Big Emory Baptist Association. I spoke at the BCM. We've had health scares, good results, continued faithfulness, continued trials. We've had families attending and several visitors. We've had more worship team members over the last couple weeks. We had a woman's Bible study that averaged over 20 people per week, and then we concluded that with a thing in the park, an event in the park that had a guest speaker that had over 100 people in attendance. The gospel was proclaimed that day. We've had mission teams go to the Navajo Nation where we participated in that. We've had a mission team come here that helped us prepare for VBS and also distributed flyers to this community. And as a result of that, there were kids who attended and heard the gospel proclaimed. That's not even to speak of the fact of the individual growth that has happened, where I've gotten messages from you, individual people from the church saying, I've learned this in the Bible this week and I've seen how God is using our ministries here to continue to share His love and demonstrate the fact that he still has a plan and a purpose for us. God's love is still on us in this present time. Think about your own lives and how things could have turned out different. But God's love got you to the fact that you're sitting in this pew at this time, listening to this sermon. Some of you could have died. Some of you could have had vastly different lives. Some of you could have been continuing in open rebellion against Christ. But through his love, in this day, at this time, he has put you here for this purpose. So we see God wants us to remember his love. We see God's love demonstrated here and now. But let's think about God's love in the future and focus on that. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, the Great Commission. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain that Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember," sound familiar? "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So as we remember God's love in the past, as we remember God's love in the present, we look forward to the fact that we can remember that no matter what we face in the future, God is there. Jesus says, "I have all authority." He has everything. There's not a rogue molecule that says, "I'm going to do my own thing," unless it goes through God's hands first. He has all authority. And when he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age," the one who has all authority will continue to love us, his children. And then we have a responsibility, right? We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? So God will be there. God's love will be there in the future. Regardless of what the future holds, God will be there. Revelation 1, verses 17 through 20 says this. John writes, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write what you have seen, what is and what is to take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So God holds the future. Christ has all authority. God and Christ together hold the keys to the churches, the lampstands. So we remember God's love in the past. We remember God's love in the present, even if we're going through trials and tribulations, and we know that God's love will be there in the future. But back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he not only says, remember God's love, he also says, remember Christ's endurance. Remember Jesus' endurance. What does that mean? Well, Jesus, from beginning of time, had communion with the Father. Created the world. Genesis chapter 3 happened. And sin entered the world. And Christ has had to endure the fact that he was going to have to leave communion with the Father, what he has had from eternity, come down, descend from the throne in the form of a servant, is what Scripture says, in the Middle East, which in and of itself, you know all the turbulence there now, just think of it back then, right? It hasn't changed much. Walk this earth, have to put up with unbelief, mocking, trials and tribulations, still showing his love, but enduring our garbage. And that's the best I can call it. Loved us still, endured all of that, was tried, convicted, even though he was sinless and spotless. He had not sinned. He had not committed any crime. They hated him because he was God. And he messed up their intentions and he challenged their sinfulness, just like he does ours. And he had to endure death on the cross, mockings and beatings and ridicule, being spit upon, being beaten with cats of nine tails, basically, having his clothes ripped off his head, having a crown of thorns shoved on his head and bleeding, having nails driven into his hands and feet. Even in all of that, the greatest thing he had to endure was when the sky went dark, when he was on the cross, and he yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he took on our sin, because he took on the sin of Ralton Emery and all of you, because he took on that, the Father had to turn his back to his Son, the one who he had communion with from eternity and for all eternity. There was a time where Christ had to endure a disfellowship time because he was us, our sin. But we know the end of the story. God accepted Christ's sacrifice and everything is restored through him, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, those are all saints of the past, let us lay aside every hindrance and every sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance, same word, the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Christ's endurance is an endurance beyond imagination. And that is what we are called to remember. How do we do that? Luke chapter 9 verse 23 tells us, then he said to all of them, this is Jesus, then he said to all of them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone who gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and the holy angels. So we are called to follow Christ and endure hardships. Why? Because we take up our cross, die to our desires, die to our wants and needs and follow Jesus, because he is the ultimate example of having to endure. And previously, if you've been around any length of time, you know I've referenced this, but 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about how we should endure through this suffering. Verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Again, Christ is the actor in this, right? "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, the eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So as we think about God's love, as we think about Jesus' endurance, and we think about the fact that we have to take up our cross and follow him, we see here the sacrifice that the soldier makes. We see here the discipline that the athlete has. We see here the patience that the farmer has. So in remembering God's love and Christ's endurance, we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to have discipline. We have to be patient. For everything has its time and its season. So as we reflect on God's love, I hope God has opened up our hearts to the fact that he has been faithful. And as we think about the ministry of Fireside Fellowship moving forward, as we reflect on the fact that God loves us, past, present, future, as we think about the fact that God has endured for us and we are living for him, as we move forward as a church body, have this always in front of us. So practically, what does that mean as we continue to look at what God has in store for us as a church body? Well, next week, our fireside chat will be one of repentance and reconciliation. We're going to take the Lord's Supper next week, so prepare your hearts now for that. Be in prayer for that. We're going to focus on then renewal. And then we're going to focus on refocusing our ministries. And then we're going to talk about rebuilding. That doesn't mean a total gut job or anything like that, but just what the scripture says about how we should do that. Now, a couple of changes from a practical standpoint that you do need to be aware. For the next couple of weeks, we will not be having Wednesday night service. But I implore you to take that time for fasting and prayer to prepare our hearts for what's coming next. Also, starting September 1st, everyone from preschool through the adult Sunday school class will all start the same curriculum, looking at the same thing every week. Why? because we want to make sure that we're continuing to grow and having the littles, the middles, and whatever you call the old people, all look at the same curriculum, study the same thing, allows you as a family to talk through that together and to study and worship together. So I implore you, if you're not a part of Sunday school, start making plans now to start joining. Before then, obviously, but at least on September 1st. That's the first Sunday in September. Now, throughout the summer, we have also had a penny competition going, Team Caden versus Team Terry. We have, since we're not going to have Wednesday night service, what we're going to do is next Sunday, we'll conclude that competition. So if you want to be on Team Terry, go to Terry today, tell him you want to be on Team Terry. If you want to be on Team Caden, go to Caden, tell him you want to be on Team Caden. The way this works, we're taking up money for missions, and I'll explain what we're going to do with the money in just a second. But the team who collects the most pennies wins. Okay? So the team who collects the most pennies wins. Okay? However, if you want to sabotage the other team, you can put any other type of money in the other team's bucket and it will detract from their number of pennies. Make sense? So for instance, if Caden puts in 25 pennies in his bucket and then Terry puts in a quarter in Caden's bucket, it go back to 0 pennies. Make sense? So you can help by either giving pennies or putting any other denomination of money in the other team's bucket. Now, winning team. So we're going to conclude that next week. We'll have a table out here and we'll have somebody stationed. But you got to make sure you check in with your team captains and do what's right. The winning team, then the following week, after we do all the calculation, the winning team gets to pie the pastor after the service. Okay? And Terry. And Caden. But now, the reason we're doing this is not just to pie us. It's the reason is we're raising money for missions. And if you haven't heard the Blue Oval Initiative in West Tennessee, there's going to be a ton of people coming into West Tennessee in the next couple of years because of a Ford plant that's being built there, and the Big Emory Baptist Association has taken it upon themselves to partner with that initiative to support churches in that area, in the West Tennessee area, and we're going to give that money to that initiative, okay, and support that initiative. So that's where the money will be going. 100% of it is going there. It's not going to stay here at this church. Obviously, we do ask you to continue your tithes and offerings, but that money specifically that we're doing for the penny drive will go to that initiative to spread the gospel in West Tennessee. New curriculum, starting September 1st, the mission drive is just a couple of the changes. Throughout the next coming weeks, we're going to have a church-wide meeting, not on a Sunday morning, but at a different time where we talk about what is our next steps. But we're also going to do that in light of Scripture. So that's why we're preaching this series and having these series of fireside chats. Even if you're not a member of this church, though, however, what I would ask you is this can be an individual effort as well. Reflect on God's love. Reflect on Christ's endurance. And see how He's loved you in the past. See how He loves you now. And see how He has promised to love you in the future. And if you don't know Jesus, turn to Him today. Let's pray. If there's anything that is prohibiting you from worshiping God, confess that, repent of that. Dear Lord, the altar is open for anyone who has need. If there's anyone here who hasn't taken the time to remember your love, Lord, we pray that you will impress that on their hearts. We thank you for the way you have loved us. We thank you how you hold us in your hand, and you'll never let go. Help us to see that you endured suffering, you endured shame to the point of dying on the cross for our sins, and then you call us to remember that, knowing that through your suffering, you have redeemed us. Through our suffering, we show others your redemption. Dear Lord, we thank you for, and I personally thank you for the time I've had to reflect. I pray for your grace and mercy to be heard and felt through the words spoken this morning. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.